chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Rest my dab in the middle of it. Rest my dab in the middle. We are rest my dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness, we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got a lot going on this week. Sussman, you know, he was let off. What's going to happen next? What about this January 6th committee? They seem to be so one-sided, and there are two Republicans on there. Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, but they're not real conservative, Republicans. But I'm going to start off the program with a couple of Greg Reese really gets into what we've going on this week, and I've been listening to other people over the years too, and we're beginning to uncover through research, and I listened to quite a few media, alternative media, and this amyloidosis is a condition that it's a formation of protein in the body, and it becomes a sort of a rubbery-like substance in the body, a string sometimes, and it occurs whenever you have misfolding of protein that occurs in the body. It occurs naturally in your older age sometimes and manifests in dementia. But what we're seeing now is possibly the spike protein is causing an overabundance of the misfolding of protein, and it's causing a tremendous amount of these fibers called by amyloidosis, structures, and a misfolded protein clinging together, and it's growing and causing blockage in the arteries itself. But first, we're going to start off with an interview that Pete Santilli had with Alex and Owen Sawyer. And they're talking about this January the 6th hearing has paraded so many witnesses across there. Then did they taint the witness pool for any future, cases against either ex-President Trump or other people that they're trying to prosecute. So here we go with that discussion now.
Joe Biggs and all those people are political prisoners. They've had their due process violated. They've been holding people for years in solitary confinement. They have absolutely railroaded them. And if they can do this, they can railroad America. And now with these evil, unconstitutional, constitution-raping hearings, these are all Americans' rights that are being trashed and being burned up in front of us if we don't reverse this. So we need to get angry. We need to get upset. And we need to not just have talk radio and what's left of conservative media that hasn't been censored into oblivion to not just say, we know January 6th, is hype. We don't want to hear about it. And realize this is the whole Democrat play. It's their whole operation to label us all domestic terrorists. And it is a central issue to distract from the devaluation of the currency, the inflation, the tyranny, the collapsing borders, the human smuggling, just all the crimes they're committing.
This is exclusive. I've gotten word now. It's imminent. Within hours, there will be a filing on behalf of all of the January 6th defendants. I'm sure all of them will join in, but a group is going to be doing a filing en masse. And let me just tell you how egregious these violations are. And they're basic fundamental constitutional violations. If you go read the Sixth Amendment, due process violations, you're supposed to have an adequate defense, representation by your attorney. But let me tell you what's happened here. I believe that that Liz Halliburton Cheney is so psychotically zealous towards getting President Trump that she essentially destroyed any possibility of a fair trial.
Lots of big breaking developing news. You're not going to find it covered anywhere else like right here on the Alex Jones Show. And Alex Jones joins us on the phone now. I'm not even sure what Alex is breaking right now. He's about to be joined by Pete Santilli as well. So, Alex, I'm waiting here on the edge of my seat to know what the big news is.
Well, I was told about this from some of the inside sources for some of the more well-known defendants that have been charged with the seditious conspiracy situation, and they knew that the committee was swearing people in, acting like it was a real hearing under law, which it is, and then when they were having witnesses in the room to listen to other witnesses, and when they'd already pre-coached them, that is completely illegal. That's how you rig a trial. Anyone, even if they were an axe murderer, would have to be released from jail and charges dropped whenever things like this happen. This is just 101 that you do not do this. And it's the same thing the Democrats do in civil cases and criminal cases all over the United States. They're doing it in Canada as well. They have weaponized the judiciary. So I was told about this on Monday and Tuesday because they were clearly just violating the law out in front of the whole world, not just tainting the jury pool, but saying people were convicted, airing edited tapes, falsified evidence, violating the rule of completeness, where if you show a clip, you've got to show it in context or show basically the whole clip or most of the clip. So if it's a two-hour show, you got to show 15 minutes of it. If it's a five-minute clip, you got to show 4 minutes of it. You got to show at least the majority of it instead of edited tapes, similar to what Schiff already did three times in the committee, editing emails to say completely false things about Trump and others. And so we have CNN pieces saying, I'm guilty. CNN piece is saying that I basically commanded the attack on the Capitol. We've got that piece coming up next segment. And so whether Joe Biggs is guilty or not, whether Stuart Rhodes is guilty or not, and I don't believe they're guilty of seditious conspiracy that they go in the Capitol, would a Democrat maybe get a trip to jail and out in 2 hours for that? Yeah. So maybe jail for 2 hours and then out in 2 hours, you know, if it's a equally applied justice system, certainly not seditious conspiracy, and they certainly weren't being commanded by me or Trump or anybody else. That's why I was there trying to stop people going to the Capitol. And the same CNN piece that they did covering the hearings and how I'm a dangerous extremist, they said that I was there encouraging people to go into the Capitol. And they show footage without audio of me saying, don't go in the Capitol. It'll be a new Kent State. You'll get shot. You'll get killed. So these people are absolute criminals. The committee, Liz Cheney, all of them are working in concert with a controlled corporate press. And so the big announcement that Pete has here, and I was told this 2 days ago, talked to some folks last night, confirmed it, but he talked to the same people, I'll leave it at that, that are very close to the case. And those filings are happening within hours to say you have to let all of these people that you showed in the committee with edited tapes, because you had witnesses in the same room that are going to be called in the criminal case, and you had witnesses in there listening to the other witnesses, because you've done this on purpose to put out your fake narrative to taint the whole world's mind, everybody has to be released now. And again, better that 100 guilty men go free than one innocent man go to jail. Well, these people are innocent of what they've claimed. It's a total fraud, and we are truly in a banana republic, rigged kangaroo court, show trial system, and this is the case. And the same thing's happening with my Sandy Hook cases that are designed to get rid of the First Amendment. Democrats have bragged about this on national television and said now that we're going to be able to shut Alex Jones down, they think, we'll be able to basically shut everybody else down. So that's the precedent. Defaulting me, saying we didn't give them all the stuff they asked for, which is a lie, then saying they're going to have a jury trial on how guilty I am, but that we're not supposed to be able to even talk at these upcoming show trials that begin in late July. And I'm not putting myself in the middle of the story. I'm explaining this is part of concerted effort, the suits against Trump, the criminal investigations against Trump, all the things that are being done against the rest of the independent media, all the different lawsuits being filed against the independent media is an attempt to shut everybody down. And so we are all having our rights taken right now. This is a blueprint for all of America. As Tucker Carlson said just on Monday of this week, he said this is a blueprint to criminalize the political opposition to the Democratic Party in America, because the Democratic Party has lost. Everybody hates them. There's a political realignment against them. So this is their last desperate gamble. But they even had to cancel one of the day's hearings because the ratings are so low and no one's buying it, and people are getting very angry at him. So Pete Santilli has got the specifics here. This is exclusive, coming down today. Multiple defendants, multiple group filings demanding that they be released because the entire system of due process has been violated in royal flush spades. Pete Santilli.
Thank you, Alex. That's right. It is. This is exclusive. I've gotten word now. It's imminent. Within hours, there will be a filing on behalf of all of the January 6th defendants. I'm sure all of them will join in, but a group is going to be doing a filing in mass. And let me just tell you how egregious these violations are. And they're basic fundamental constitutional violations. If you go read the Sixth Amendment, due process violations, you're supposed to have an adequate defense, of course, representation by your attorney. But let me tell you what's happened here. I believe that that Liz Halliburton Cheney is so psychotically zealous towards getting President Trump that she essentially destroyed any possibility of a fair trial. Now, let me tell you that there's legal precedence here. Ollie North, I think it was back in 1991, was convicted. And the way he was convicted was after he was forced to give testimony in the Iran-Contra committee hearings. He asserted his Fifth Amendment, right? They compelled him to give testimony. And then by doing so, they brought him to trial. Although they offered him immunity, they withheld that, brought him to trial, and he was convicted. As a result of that conviction, they appealed it, and on appeal, almost identical to the circumstances here at the January 6th hearings, is that basically the jury pool was tainted. Another thing, Alex Jones, he's not a defendant, but I'll give you an example of how the jury pool was tainted. This Marcus Childress, he's an officer of the court, an attorney. He doctored evidence and lined up a video, creating a certain impression that essentially is irreversible. What they say is you cannot unring a bell. So this bell has been rung in two hearings. I mentioned this to Owen the other day, that there are blessings in disguise here. A, they're getting caught doctoring evidence, giving just horrifying a testimony without any cross-examination or challenging of anything that they're presenting. This is so egregious that I'm gonna make the call right now. There is a strong possibility that the defendants that are locked up in the gulag could literally walk, not just walk out the door, but also have all of their charges dropped, a mistrial before the trial even begins.
And Pete, let me just add this. Anywhere else in America, in Michigan, where the jury said, no, these people are not guilty in the fake Whitmer kidnapping false flag event, you're absolutely right, or in Texas, or even in a place like New York, or Florida, or even California. But D.C. has such rigged courts and such rigged systems on record. You know, we just saw that with the Sussman verdict, where he's caught red-handed, nothing happens because he works for Hillary. These judges may just go ahead and say, no, we don't care, they can do anything, and that sets the precedent. So how does that – what's the process there? I guess that's appealed to a higher court because, as you said, these are cut-and-dry, basic 101 rules of the game, and they're able to do this. It's just incredible. That's question A. Question B, Pete, and also Owen, why do you think they're so reckless? Why are they so wild-eyed? Why are they doctoring evidence in front of everybody? Why are they doing this when they fundamentally know it's against the law?
Well, I'll go first. I'll make it quick, Pete. They're psychotic, Alex. They're psychotic, and I don't think there's anybody that has committed to understand the psychology of liberals right now in media. I pick a lot of it up from the great Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage, who's kind of past his prime as well, no disrespect. They're psychotic. They have a mental disorder, and everything, the liberal agenda, trumps everything else in their mind. You have to understand this. In everything they do, the liberal propaganda, the liberal agenda trumps everything else. So when you see them acting like this, understand they're number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven, number eight, number all their top 100 priorities are all whatever the liberal agenda is. So they're acting like psychos because of it. Pete?
Yeah, and that's why I said psychotic zeal. Liz Halliburton Cheney, there's a couple of elements here. They have a window of opportunity. The DOJ will not prosecute if you get too close to the November elections. So they were pressed for time. There was this mad rush to bring the Soviet show trial. But they're so zealous about going after President Trump that they even if they wanted to prosecute President Trump. Here's the case. United States of America versus Ollie North as the appellant. The circumstances are almost identical because of his testimony to a congressional hearing, he tainted the jury. It's essentially
Mr. Supreme Court. Pete, didn't that finally go to the Supreme Court?
That was an appeals court in the District of Columbia. So no judge is going to override, you know, well-settled law already ruled upon by an appeals court. Their career would be destroyed at that point, no matter how corrupt they are.
Coming up next is Mark Levine and what he has to say about this January 6th committee and the process that these people are being held without charges in some cases. And this is just a political trial that's going on. And, gosh, I worry about this country sometimes. But anyway, here's Mark Levine and his thoughts on what's going on.
Hello, America. I'm Mark Levin, and this is Life, Liberty, and Levin. Well, you've seen the spectacle this week, and I want to dig into this, and I want to dig into the threat of assassination against the Supreme Court justice. You heard these words often the past few days: insurrection, sedition, democracy, peaceful transfer of power. What words haven't you heard from this committee? Show trial, star chamber, tyranny of the legislature, separation of powers. In a courtroom, ladies and gentlemen, there's all kinds of rules based on the truism that justice, truth, and fairness, they require the ability of the accused to effectively defend himself or herself. We have a judge, we have a jury of peers, we have the government lawyer, the defendant has a lawyer, rules of evidence, they apply to both sides, discovery, especially useful to the defendants, and etc. This is built on 4,000 years of human experience. Athens, the Magna Carta, the great Western Reformation, and it was refined by the Founding Fathers and the Bill of Rights. Furthermore, when our Constitution established the House of Representatives, it was created as the only federal branch directly elected by the people. We don't have a democracy, we have a republic. But the extent to which the people have a direct role in their government, it's supposed to be through the House of Representatives, or at least was. And it was to be the body in which the people, all the people are represented, not just the majority. It was to be a body in which the minority had some power, the minority had a role. Otherwise, why have elections after the majority takes over? The committee structure. The minority has a certain number of seats on the committee, not the majority, but they have a minority number of seats. They have some says under Robert's Rules of Evidence, the parliamentary rules that apply to the House of Representatives. It's supposed to be a participatory system. And so the minority, as the founders believed, and over 200 years of practice, while they can't control the floor of the House and other elements, they have a say. What's the purpose of this? Their purpose isn't to ensure that everybody has at least some voice in their government and over their lives. It is to ensure tranquility, even when you have a diverse political system with a lot of voices. It's to avoid the tyranny of the majority, the tyranny of the legislature. See, in the courtroom, you want opposition to get to the truth. The legislature, you want opposition, well, not so much to get to the truth, but so that the other side, so to speak, has a say, has some kind of representation. We have separation of powers. Among other things, Congress exists to raise money, to borrow, to spend, to legislate. Congress has no power to conduct criminal investigations, none whatsoever. That's not their lane. Their lane is to legislate. And to ensure, the framers believed, that we wouldn't be criminalizing politics. See, the framers of the Constitution looked all over the world. They looked at history. They looked at the Judeo-Christian experience. They looked at Athens. They looked at Rome. They looked at Britain. They looked at Germany. They looked at France. They looked at the great philosophers. And they came up with the most fantastic constitution ever known to man. Then we have the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is the only court specifically mentioned in the Constitution. There's no mention of the appellate courts, or the district courts, or administrative courts for immigration, or anything of the kind. The Supreme Court is, in fact, in Article 3 by name, as is the Chief Justice of the United States. It's the only one. Three branches of power. Montesquieu. Montesquieu cited over and over again in the Federalist Papers how important it is to have three branches of government. This is all set up so we the people can survive in a civil society and that we have rights too. Now, none of this has been discussed by this January 6th committee. Why? Because every single thing I just told you is being rejected by this committee. Hook, line, and sinker. Individuals were not protected. Individuals had no due process rights. This committee has conducted an unconstitutional, parallel criminal investigation, going through the back door to get around the Bill of Rights and other procedures, and then feed its information to a politicized Department of Justice and Attorney General. Absolutely appalling. This is outrageous. This committee is made up of all Democrats. I know they keep talking about two Republicans. These are figureheads. They're never Trumpers. In fact, they are the most zealous on the committee, Cheney and Kinzinger, because they're on the outs with their own party, and they're trying to even the score. There is no way possible that a committee structured like this, where every person is appointed by the Speaker of the House, who has a 4-5 vote majority in the House of Representatives, Speaker of the House because of their loyalty either to her or their hate for the prior president, Donald Trump. There is no way that we can get to the truth under this committee. And what is the purpose of a hearing? The purpose of a hearing is not to present a Hollywood produced show trial. The purpose of a hearing is to garner information. They say they had 1,000 witnesses and 140,000 documents. 1,000 witnesses and 140,000 documents in order to determine what? How to protect the Capitol building? 1,000 witnesses, and yet they couldn't call one more, Nancy Pelosi, to explain what she did or didn't do, and more information's coming out about how incompetent and ideologically irresponsible Nancy Pelosi was, her failure to protect that building. Now, this is a sham. This will go down in history as a dark mark on the American political system. You can't see it now. The mob is in control. The mob runs the media. The propaganda is full-throated. You can't see it now. But history has a way of sobering events. And we will see this one day as the outrageous attack on our system, on the prior president, on scores of people, that it truly is. It's an abomination to the American system, not just of justice, but our congressional and representative system. Now, as you know, there was what was to be an assassination attempt on a Supreme Court justice, Kavanaugh, Brett Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh was turned into the enemy of the state by the Democrat Party, by the Washington Post, by people bearing false witness, and by others. Day in and day out, Kavanaugh. That was the goal, to dehumanize him, to destroy him. That was the goal in the war against Clarence Thomas. It is now the goal against the Supreme Court, unless, of course, the left controls the court and it's independent. Then you're to worship it. Then they do movies about their justices. But not now. Not now, because the left knows it's not going to get all the decisions at once, because it didn't win all the elections that it insisted on winning. Mr. Kavanaugh's life and potential the life of his family were threatened just a few days ago. Why were they threatened? Well, among other reasons, the Democrat Party and their media mouthpieces said some things about this court and have said things about Kavanaugh that would cause the blood to boil of any kook and psychopath. It has blood boiling of people who aren't kooks and psychopaths. We've never had a persistent, constant threat on justices of the Supreme Court. Not only that, the Democrat Party and so many of its members and media types are on record that they want to destroy the independence of the court. They want to pack the court. They want to eliminate the filibuster, so they can influence the final decision of the court. This is a disaster, what the Democrat Party is doing. Reaching back to Donald Trump, this is what third world types do. This is what Stalin and the other genocidal maniacs have done. That is, try to take people who are out of political power and destroy them so they can never come back, so their voices can't be heard, smear the people who back them and so forth and so on. Yes, there's an overlay here. Very quickly, I want you to listen to what Donald Trump said on January 6, 2021, in relevant part. Cut one, go.
We have come to demand that Congress do the right thing and only count the electors who have been lawfully slated. Lawfully slated. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Today we will see whether Republicans stand strong for integrity of our elections, but whether or not they stand strong for our country.
That is about as passive a statement you could possibly make. Peacefully and patriotically. Does that sound like a man leading an insurrection? And even more than that, we have on the record numerous people that President Trump offered National Guardsmen to the Capitol, to Pelosi, 4 days before January 6th. 4 days before January 6th. So these two issues alone would undermine completely the entire purpose of this committee, which is why they have to have 1,000 witnesses and 140,000 documents. They want 100,000 puzzle pieces so they can put little texts together and emails, have music, show the violence from the group that did break into the Capitol, and then try and turn it into a Donald Trump event. That's what propagandists do. That's what Hollywood does. It's what our media do with the Russia collusion and the rest of it. Now, I want you to hear what Chuck Schumer said on March 2020 about the Supreme Court and two justices in particular. And keep in mind the comparison of the two, the voice of Donald Trump and the substance of what he said, peacefully and patriotically. Now listen to Chuck Schumer. Go.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions. He's not only obstructing the work of the court and trying to influence the outcome of a case or two or three or ten. You won't know what hit you? Now, this is violent language. Can you imagine what this committee would do with that language if those words were uttered by Donald Trump on January 6th? But that's not what happened. There was a complaint filed by Landmark Legal Foundation with the Senate Select Committee on Ethics, headed by Senators Coons and Lankford, talking about specifically the threat that was made by Schumer to these justices and how an unhinged individual might view this as a call to violence. You know what the Select Committee on Ethics did in the United States Senate? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. A Supreme Court today, even as I speak, threatened with violence. Finally, there's a federal law, most of you have memorized it by now, 18 U.S. Code Section 1507. You're not allowed to, quote unquote, peacefully protest at the home of a justice. That's the law. It took the Attorney General of the United States weeks to beef up security for these justices. Weeks. And he hasn't prosecuted a single person who's committed a felony here. Not one. And Chuck Schumer, we have the audio. We have the video. And Nancy Pelosi, we have the audio. We have the video. Both of them encouraged their mob to go to those houses, break federal law, commit felonies, and influence the outcome of a Supreme Court decision, that is, obstruct the work of the court. I don't believe any of them have been charged with anything. No handcuffs, no leg irons like Peter Navarro. No, none of that. What we're facing now is the tyranny of the legislature, as Jefferson called it. You're witnessing it through Nancy Pelosi, who failed to protect the Capitol building as of today. Has failed to protect Supreme Court justices. She has a bill on her table passed unanimously by the Senate. And as of my speaking right here, for almost 2 months, she's done absolutely nothing with it. Why? Because she wants the Supreme Court damaged, because she disagrees with their opinions. This is tyranny. You're staring it in the face.
Up next is Greg Reese with some information about these fibers and structures that they're finding in people and cadavers. Actually, this first came out, there was some evidence of a coroner, undertaker, in the UK that were pulling these fibers out of bodies. Now we have more information about them, and it appears to be misfolded proteins, the result of misfolding of proteins, and that's what causes these fibers to be created. But here's what Greg Reese had to say about it.
The evidence of vaccine death and injuries is overwhelming to anyone capable of seeing past the mainstream media's hypnotic lies. The numbers tell us that the vaccines have already caused a 20% increase in deaths.
Now we have a run rate of about 20% excess mortality. That's confirmed by the CDC numbers, the funeral home numbers, and the insurance company numbers. And then somebody did an independent study I saw recently suggesting 20% is the number. So we're running at 20% excess deaths.
And a 10% increase in disabilities.
This is a stunning number. You're telling me that things been flat for 5 years at 29 million, and all of a sudden now the data, they got 3 million people are disabled out of nowhere?
Correct.
And now we are beginning to understand that this is just the beginning. Things are going to get much, much worse. Many of us have already seen the mysterious objects found in the vials of COVID vaccines by two separate independent groups using electron microscopy. We are also familiar with the rising number of strokes, heart attacks, and other side effects experienced worldwide after the biggest experimental vaccination in history. And now we are getting a first glimpse of what is causing all this. Something in the COVID vaccines seems to be growing within the recipient's vascular system. Anomalous objects are being discovered in the dead bodies of the vaccinated by embalmers and coroners. Horrific things being grown inside the veins and arteries. These are not blood clots, and they appear to be some sort of organic material with small crystals and extremely thin wires made up of what looks like reptilian scales. This internal blockage growing within the vaccinated would certainly explain all of the deadly side effects we are seeing today. What the mainstream media is currently spinning as sudden adult death syndrome. We do not know what these things are, but they are being found by embalmers and coroners everywhere. Except, pretty much all of them are too afraid to speak out, or they don't care. Only one has shown the courage to speak out so far, and this is the real tragedy. For those who remain silent, things will not get better. The FDA is poised to authorize these deadly vaccines to children as young as 6 months old, and humanity does nothing.
Today, we want to provide an update on a topic that I know many parents and grandparents are focused on: the potential for the first COVID-19 vaccines for kids under 5. We have waited a long time for this moment.
Well, guys, here's some good news. The Biden administration has finally announced a vaccine rollout plan for children under 5, and they've ordered 10 million doses. That's great. Right now, kids are like, oh, my gosh, we can finally meet up for drinks. Yep, as we speak, everyone in the lollipop industry is like, we're buying a yacht. Here we go. You get a lollipop. You get one. It's very exciting to hear a 4-year-old scream, Facebook told me Bill Gates controls the vaccines. You go, okay, shit.
Why should we deserve anything other than pain and suffering if we do nothing to protect our own children? Once those afraid of speaking out begin seeing their coroner tables filled with dead children, it will be too late. But it's not too late now. If you are an embalmer, a coroner, or a funeral director, and you are seeing these things, there is still time to save the lives of our innocent children. You can start now by contacting Dr. Jane Ruby at protonmail.com. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Now, we're talking about Fauci being behind much of the vaccine and the virus and so forth. And the gain of function has been proven. He lied several times in before committees. And Rand Paul called him out several times. And here's an exchange talking about children. And my best advice, and this is not just my opinion, it's not meant to be medical advice, but it so happens that there's never been that many studies with children about these vaccines. And many of those vaccine manufacturers are recommending that for young children. And if I were a parent, I don't have any children myself, I would certainly not, if your child is healthy, young, healthy, vibrant, and so forth, and not ill of any kind, I would not give him any of these vaccines until they were really proven and had a final certification, which none of these have right now. So anyway, what I'm going to put up here next is a questioning of Rand Paul of Fauci, and about, also we find out in this questioning that they're not necessarily have to by law report what kind of special foundations that are paying them for different aspects of some of their research. So boy, we didn't know about that. But anyway, here's Rand Paul standing up to that Fauci, and Fauci is trying to evade their question in so many different ways. But here we go. With outstanding honorable Rand Paul, one of Ron Paul's sons.
Dr. Fauci, the government recommends everybody take a booster over age 5. Are you aware of any studies that show reduction in hospitalization or death for children who take a booster?
Right now, there's not enough data that has been accumulated, Senator Paul, to indicate that that's the case. I believe that the recommendation that was made was based on the assumption that if you look at the morbidity and mortality of children within each of the age groups, you know, 0 to 5, 5 to 11.
Right. So there are no studies, and Americans should all know this, there are no studies on children showing a reduction in hospitalization or death with taking a booster. The only studies that were permitted, the only studies that were presented, were antibody studies. So they say, if we give you a booster, you make antibodies. Now, a lot of scientists would question whether or not that's proof of efficacy of a vaccine. If I give you 10, or if I give a patient 10 mRNA vaccines and they make protein each time, or they make antibody each time, is that proof that we should give 10 boosters, Dr. Fauci?
No, I think that is somewhat of an absurd exaggeration.
Well, that is the proof that you use. Your committees use that. That's the only proof you have to tell children to take a booster is that they make antibodies. So it's not an absurdity. You're already at like 5 boosters for people. You've had, you know, 2 or 3 boosters. It's like, where is the proof? Now, I think there is probably some indication for older folks that have some risk factors. For younger folks, there's not. But here's the other thing. There are some risk factors for the vaccine. So the risk of myocarditis with a second dose for adolescent boys 12 to 24 is about 80 in a million. This is both from the CDC and from the Israeli study. It's also in the VAERS study, remarkably similar, 4 boys, much higher from boys than girls and much higher than the background. The background's about 2 per million. So there is risk, and there are risks, and you're telling everybody in America just blindly go out there because we made antibodies. So it is not an absurd corollary to say if you have 10. In fact, you probably make antibodies if you get 100 boosters. All right? That's not science. That's conjecture, and we should not be making public policy on it.
So, Senator Paul, if I might respond to that, we just heard in his opening statement Ranking Member Burr talk about his staff who went to Israel. And if you look at the data from Israel, the boosts, both the third shot boost and the fourth shot boost, was associated with a clear-cut clinical effect, mostly in elderly people, but also as they gathered more data, even in people in the 40s and the 50s. So there is clinical data.
But not in children. Well, see, here's the thing is, you're not willing to be honest with the American people. So, for example, 75% of kids have had the disease. Why is the CDC not including this in the data? You can ask the question. You can do laboratory tests to find out who's had it and who hasn't had the disease. What is the incidence of hospitalization and death for children who've been infected with COVID, subsequently going to the hospital or dying? What is the possibility if your kid has had COVID, which is 75% of the country's had COVID, what is the chance that my child's going to the hospital or dying?
If you look at the number of deaths in pediatrics, Senator, you can see that there are more deaths
of people who have had it, of people who have had the disease.
Senator, we also know from other studies that the optimal degree of protection when you get infection is to get vaccinated after infection. And in fact, showing reinfection in the era of Omicron and the sublineages, that vaccination...
But you can't answer the question I ask. The question I ask is how many kids are dying and how many kids are going to the hospital who've already had COVID. The answer may be zero, but you're not even giving us the data because you have so much wanted to protect everybody from all the data because we're not smart enough to look at the data. When you released data earlier, when the CDC released the data, they left out the category of 18 to 49 on whether or not there was a health benefit for adults 18 to 49. Why was it left out? When critics finally complained, it was finally included because there was no health benefit from taking a booster between the 18 to 49 and the CDC study. Another question for you. The NIH continues to refuse to voluntarily divulge the names of scientists who receive royalties and from which companies. Over the period of time from 2010 to 2016, 27,000 royalty payments were paid to 1,800 NIH employees. We know that, not because you told us, but because we forced you to tell us through the Freedom of Information Act. Over $193 million was given to these 1,800 employees. Can you tell me that you have not received a royalty from any entity that you ever oversaw the distribution of money in research grants?
Well, first of all, let's talk about
royalty. That's the question. No, that's the question. Have you ever overseen, have you ever received a royalty payment from a company that you later oversaw money going to that company?
You know, I don't know as a fact, but I doubt it.
Well, here's the thing is, why don't you let us know? Why don't you reveal how much you've gotten and from what entities? The NIH refuses. Look, we ask them. We ask them, the NIH, we ask them whether or not, who got it and how much. They refuse to tell us. They sent it redacted. Here's what I want to know. It's not just about you. Everybody on the vaccine committee, have any of them ever received money from the people who make vaccines? Right. Can you tell me that? Can you tell me if anybody on the vaccine approval committees ever received any money from people who make the vaccines?
Are you going to let me answer a question? Soundbite number one. Are you going to let me answer a question? Okay, so let me give you some information. First of all, according to the regulations, people who receive royalties are not required to divulge them even on their financial statement, according to the Bayh-Dole Act. So let me give you some example. From 2015 to 2020, the only royalties I have was my lab and I made a monoclonal antibody for use in vitro reagent that had nothing to do with patients. And during that period of time, my royalties ranged from $21 a year to $700 a year, and the average per year was $191.46.
It's all redacted, and you can't get any information on the 1,800 scientists.
Your time is
so
gone.
We want to know whether
or not
people got money from the people who made the manufacturing.
Senator Paul, your time is long over expired. I gave you an additional 2.5 minutes. The witness has responded. We are going to move on. Senator Sanders.
Boy, this Fauci guy is quite a snake, isn't he? I mean, He's been caught lying by Rand before and to a congressional committee, and that's perjury and that's prosecutable. But they're all protecting themselves up there. So what do you do when the inside bunch in the D.C. area are protecting all their buddies and everything. The Sussman trial was an example, and you had a jury that was constructed of people that had compromising situations with Hillary and so forth. Oh, Hillary and Bill recently said that democracy is dead or dying. And now those are two of the finest people to talk about that. The Daily Mail had a good article today about that. These fine, outstanding people, and Hillary was involved in Uranium One that resulted in this, in the Russians having about a 40% monopoly on uranium supplying to power plants throughout the world. That's just one thing that they did. There were all kinds of irregularities about the Clinton Foundation. There were Haitians that died mysteriously that were going to testify about the foundation, the possible misuse. I'm saying possible misuse. It hasn't come out yet with proof, but there's a lot of rumors and so forth, mysterious deaths going on. But anyway, are these the people to testify about our democracy? Not quite. Not really. This is crazy. Coming up next, I'm going to finish off the program here, is Jay Dyer, and he's going to talk about serial killers possibly being involved in one way or another with government or some kind of operations and so forth. We know some of these false flag operations that actually the Gladio operations, there's a good book, Gladio Secret Army, Gladio Secret Army by Gassner over in Switzerland, wrote an excellent book about these secret armies and the way that they were carrying out operations to tension the populations in the European Union, which before that was the NATO countries, primarily organized into the NATO organization. But anyway, here we go with Jay Dyer. And he's going to finish out the program. When you hear the music, that's the end of it for this week. But I want to thank each and every one of you. Oh, Nikki Rapana passed away up in Alaska. And Nordica announced it on her site. And I'm going to suggest that we send some memorial compensation up there. I'm going to send some. I'm going to get a mailing address for Nordica to put up. She hasn't asked for anything, but I know that they were living hand to mouth for years, and they did a tremendous job on communitarianism, which is the third way. It's a sneak attack, a in run around capitalism and even socialism. It's communistic, basically. Is favoring the state over the individual, and I favor the individual over the state. But anyway, so Nikki Rapana did pass away. Her daughter Nordica, she had two grandsons, I believe, Nordica's sons, and so they're going to carry on without Nikki Rapana. But she was a really fine person, and she did a lot of study and released a book. It was free of charge there. And I think finally you can find it with Nikki Rapana, and I'll have them put up some stuff, and we'll direct people to there. But we need to raise some money to take care of her final, going on here, final arrangements that would help. But also I know that it would be helpful for apartments or getting housing possibly or anything else. They were working on some girts and stuff. So anyway, their dream, maybe we can help them, find their dream and realize their dream. And with Nikki gone, Nordica can carry on that dream. So here's the final Jay Dyer with the serial killing. And then you'll hear the music and we'll be out of here. But thank you very much, and God bless each and every one of you. Let's try to save this country. Good night.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. We're looking at the odd connections and suppressed information in regard to serial killers and the possibility that they could have been, in many cases, linked to government projects, to satanic cults, to contract killings, organized crime, things that are not usually talked about in regard to the lone nut. Now, keep in mind, too, when it comes to assassins, right, the Sirhan Sirhan or a Lee Harvey Oswald, we're often told that they're just lone nuts. And I think that for most people, that narrative is kind of broken down. I think most people pretty much kind of doubt that normie, old school, official narrative when it comes to, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald or Sirhan Sirhan. And now we tend to think, no, there's probably something else going on. I mean, you just don't have these high profile cases typically being lone nuts. Well, is it really that much of a stretch to think that maybe in the case of some serial killers, at least, it's also not lone nuts? And so right now we're going through the list of serial killers who have an occult, satanic type of connection. And we just mentioned Dahmer. A lot of people don't know this, but in regard to Ted Bundy, and this was a little more speculative, but in the case of Ted Bundy, there were other killers that had been arrested and interviewed. In one case, Mad Dog McKenna, who appeared to have clearly have been an organized crime-connected serial killer. That was at least one of his claims, is that he was a contract killer as well as a satanic cult leader for Santos Traficante, the famous organized crime figure. And in the case of many interviews with him, he claimed that Bundy was actually part of the same network of satanic cults and that they would at times be contracted out to do hits. Now, again, we can't always believe serial killers because many of them, well, most of them, unless they're completely, you know, mind controlled or whatever, they're narcissistic liars. So they will oftentimes hype up and, you know, they want to have the highest kill list, kill numbers or whatever. So we can't always believe them. But in some cases, it has turned out where things that they claimed for many years were actually true. For example, Henry Lee Lucas claimed that he was part of a satanic cult that had kind of raised him, the Hand of Death cult, and he actually talked about places where you would find bodies, and this turned out to be true, right? If I recall, it connected to the Matamoros cult, which was another big famous case where, yes, there was a satanic cult that was involved in human sacrifice, and this connected to what Lucas talked about, and there were really were bodies where he said there would be. In the case of John Wayne Gacy, Gacy for many, many years said he had accomplices and that he was not the only guy, you know, luring in people and killing them. And it has turned out that even mainstream news, WGN, has recently, in the last year or two, reported on the fact that there does appear to be clear evidence that Gacy had accomplices. And particularly one of the accomplices that's most relevant in regard to Gacy was that he was part of a network of underage PRON, if you know what I mean, right? He was connected to a guy, John David Norman, who worked with a guy named Paskey, and Paskey was the associate working with Gacy. So John David Norman at that time in the 70s and 80s was the most prolific underage young man porn kind of person putting this material out. And then he gets busted, but his note cards, he had the famously the collections of note cards of high profile people where he sold his materials to. What do you know? The note cards all happened to disappear. But what's interesting is that the connections between Paskey and John David Norman and John Wayne Gacy have now been confirmed. That actually was the case. That is true. So what that suggests is networks, higher level connections, which many of the serial killers had actually talked about, including Berkowitz, including Gacy. But a lot of people said, oh, well, you can't, you know, believe them because they're, you know, crazy killers. Well, maybe, but not everything that they say is false. And so it's entirely possible in the case of Bundy, again, oddities in the case of Bundy, escaping from police and prison twice, police custody, prison. I mean, might have a little aid from the inside to be able to do that twice in a row. I mean, unless he's just like super slick, right? He's like the most genius slick guy ever. To me, it seems implausible unless there is perhaps a police help. And in the case of Gacy, what do you call it when you're like a volunteer cop? I don't know what the term is, but he was part of law enforcement. So one of the ways that he was able to get away with a lot of his crimes for so long was that he had this inside police level connection.
Not saying all the police are serial killers, they're all doing this, but in many cases, in the serial killer cases, there do at times appear to be police corruption and police assistance and or cover-ups on the part of some of the police. And this was actually something that we do see in the Gacy case. In regard to Henry Lee Lucas, we see similar situations where Lucas appeared to have had protection on the part of the cops. One thing that's odd about the Henry Lee Lucas case is that the number of people that he claimed and that the police said he did is almost humanly impossible. So whether that was a protected contract killing situation with Henry Lee Lucas or whether that was something that they were just trying to clear up, cover up a bunch of old cases and just pin it on that crazy old guy, who knows? But again, that satanic cult connection there is clearly there with Henry Lee Lucas and has been confirmed. Now, in the case of Richard Ramirez, probably the most famous of the open Satanist killers, he appears to have been introduced to the satanic stuff via, I think, his cousin or his uncle who was in Vietnam and was in some degree a Satanist. This allowed Richard Ramirez, oddly enough, to meet Anton LaVey back in the 80s, 70s or 80s. A lot of people don't know this, but the more recent BTK killer, who appeared to have been a humble evangelical Lutheran elder, adamant and active in his local Boy Scouts and church, I think he was part of the Neighborhood Watch, so not full law enforcement, but part of the Neighborhood Watch. He later admitted, no, actually he believed, and again, we can't always believe what they say, but he claimed to have been possessed by two spirits that he was very aware of. One demon named Batter and one named Factor X. So a lot of people don't know that, but he claimed to have been involved in some degree of demonic possession. Whether he was an occultist, I don't know. But one thing is that a lot of people don't look at either is that the serial killers, for the most part, they all do art. Right? So there's this weird underground thing where serial killers sell their art to fans. I think this is all sick and disgusting, but if you look at BTK's artwork, he actually puts quite a bit of zodiac type symbolism, esoteric symbolism. It's always, in many cases, very psychedelic. Why that is, I don't know. It could be the law of the serial killers were experimenting with LSD. In many cases, we do know that, for example, Son of Sam had done LSD. Yeah, there you see, I think that's BTK killer art there. Always very trippy, very psychedelic, and at times he will put mandala symbolism in there, and he'll put astrological symbolism in there. And again, he claims, again, yes, they can lie. You know, they can try to get out of the guilt. Oh, I'm a MPD DID. I'm not guilty. And maybe they are, maybe they are. I don't know, right? Maybe they are possessed, right? Any of these things are possible. Probably one of the worst, though, that people don't know about is the David Parker Ray, the toy box killer, who would sort of take in women that he found off the streets, and he would I'm not going to say what he did, but it was very nasty. It was one of the worst. But he also claimed to be part of a small satanic sect. I'm not going to tell you to look up his drawings and artwork because it's pretty gross, but you can clearly see that in the drawings and artwork that he did. Herb Baumeister is an odd guy, and there were bones found strewn throughout his yard at this big farm that he had purchased. Yeah, there you go. That's a toy box killer's thing there. And then in regard to Herb Baumeister, there were pentagrams and inverted crosses drawn nearby on the barns where he had done his murders. In regard to, I think this is in Chicago, the Ripper Crew, a famous serial killer group of four guys. They were also a small satanic sect.